Welcome to The Word at Westminster, a podcast with talks, studies, interviews, sermons, and more from Westminster Church in Barrie, Canada. It's about learning and living God's Word. At the 1924 Olympics in Paris, runner Eric Liddell refused to run on a Sunday. As a Christian, it was a matter of principle. This part of his story is preserved in the well-known movie Chariots of Fire. The timing of his event wasn't changed, so he had to choose a different race on a different day. Was Liddell making a mountain out of a molehill? Was he being legalistic? What did God think? I've been teaching through the Ten Commandments in a series called The Royal Family Code. Commandment number 4 states, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." The sermon on that text was called The Countercultural Restoration of Sabbath Rest One Day a Week. That's where he unpacked Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11, and shared some modern applications. So if you're just tuning in for this podcast or blog, I encourage you to listen to or watch the full sermon. Otherwise, you might miss the bigger picture of what I'm trying to say. During the sermon, I raised an issue that I didn't really have time to address in 30 minutes on a Sunday morning. The Hebrews observe the Sabbath on Saturday. Should Christians observe it on that day as well? Or should it be on Sunday, our day of worship? This entry and podcast is a way to discuss it further and share some additional points to consider. So let me start by showing you my own hand. I think the key idea is to rest one day out of seven. In other words, I don't think that Christians today should only observe the Sabbath on Saturday. Before I explain why, let's back up a little bit. I'd like to let you know, in a very general way, what some other groups of Christians have concluded over the years. Some of them say that the Sabbath day of rest is no longer relevant for Christians. The Ten Commandments are a part of God's law in Exodus 20. Since Jesus himself said that he came to fulfill the law in Matthew 5:17, it is no longer required. However, fulfill does not mean cancel. Jesus fully reveals God's character and shows perfectly what it means to live as God intends. Other Christians, and I would argue that this group is the majority, say that the Sabbath day of rest is still relevant for Christians. For them, the issue isn't whether or not it's relevant, but how it is to be observed and on which day. Among this group, some think that since the description of the Sabbath is rooted in creation itself, and so they call it a creation ordinance, it should continue, not only in general, but on Saturday. Creation continues as before, so the Sabbath continues as before, they argue. I have also heard it suggested that the Sabbath day of rest should continue on Saturday, but the Christian worship services should be held on Sunday. This view keeps the Sabbath on Saturday, but preserves the trend we see in the New Testament, that the day of worship moves to Sunday. More on that soon. As you can see, many people have come to different conclusions. But before we move on, it is important to take into account three other considerations. A, the role of Old Testament laws for Christians. B, what changed with the arrival of the Messiah, and see the original purpose of the Sabbath. Let's take a quick look at them one by one. A, the role of the Old Testament laws for Christians. As discussed elsewhere, Old Testament laws are still relevant for Christians, but relevant is not the same as applicable. Some apply, some don't, but they're all relevant. For example, the laws about animal sacrifice don't continue for Christians because Christ is the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. Hebrews 10:10. Further, we don't observe the food purity laws because Jesus declared all foods clean in Mark 7:19. Generally speaking, the moral laws in the Old Testament continue to be applicable. The apostles and Jesus quote them as if they still apply. These include commands about adultery, idolatry, bearing false witness. This begs the question, what about the laws concerning the Sabbath? Are they like those other laws which no longer apply in the same way, or are they like moral laws which continue? I'll answer that question a little further below. B, what changed with the arrival of the Messiah? As already stated, many things changed with the arrival of Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah. These changes go beyond the sacrificial system and food laws. Jesus was God in the flesh. His birth, life, ministry, resurrection, and ascension began a new era of human history. To Jesus, the Sabbath clearly mattered. It was God's gift to his people. With words which would have shocked his original hearers, he even declared that he was the Lord of the Sabbath, Matthew 12:8. Ultimately, our rest is in him, not in perfect Sabbath observance. As he famously said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Because the resurrection was on the first day of the week, Sunday, it became known as the Lord's Day. It is the day of new creation. Everything was and is now different. The man of first creation, Adam, gave way to the man of new creation, Jesus. In fact, he is referred to as a second Adam in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 45 to 49, and Romans 5, verses 12 to 19. Everything hinged on the resurrection. In Christ, all are made alive. In passages like Acts 20, verse 7, and 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, we begin to see how Christians started gathering for worship on the first day of the week, Sunday, instead of the last day, Saturday. These gatherings on the Lord's Day were to be taken seriously. Christians were not to forsake gathering together, Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. They worshiped, they rested, they were joyful. At the same time, they were not to be overly legalistic. Acts of mercy could take place on the Sabbath if help was needed, Matthew 12, 11. As Jesus famously said in Mark 2, 27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. C, the original purpose of the Sabbath. Having painted a bit of a picture, let me point out a few of the reasons the Sabbath was instituted in the first place. I think this will be helpful in shaping our own conclusions going forward. Let's not miss the forest for the trees. First, the Sabbath is for rest and refreshment. The Sabbath is so that we can be refreshed and restored. It is a sign of God's love. When we observe the Sabbath, we mimic the God who rested on the seventh day. On that day, God, quote, rested and was refreshed, Exodus 31, 17. And the same can be true for us. This isn't just about the body, but about the mind. Physical rest without mental rest isn't really rest. Physical rest without mental rest isn't really rest, and you can listen to or read more about that at theupdevo.com. Dr. James Brown says, "We doctors in the treatment of nervous diseases are compelled to provide periods of rest. Some of these periods are, I think, only Sundays in arrears." Sundays in arrears, end quote. Wow, well said. Not only are the benefits physical and spiritual, but mental and emotional. Second, the Sabbath is a gift for free people. In Deuteronomy 5:15, we are reminded that the Sabbath is not just something we have to do, but we get to do. The Hebrews had just been rescued from slavery. Slaves did not have a choice about how they use their time. Masters made those decisions. Nonstop is for slaves. Rest is therefore something we get to do as free people. A redeemer redeems. We are the happy recipients of his rescuing gift. Third, the Sabbath is heaven's appetizer. The Sabbath day makes us think back to Eden when all was at rest, initially, anyway. It also makes us look forward to the new heavens and the new earth where Eden is restored. See that description in Revelation 21 and 22. And when our ultimate rest is revealed in full, Hebrews 4 points forward in a similar way. In the midst of the hustle and bustle of everyday life, we are given hope for what is to come. Puritan Richard Baxter wrote, "We who have gone through the day of sadness shall enjoy together that day of gladness." End quote. That's so good. Let me say it again. "We who have gone through the day of sadness shall enjoy together that day of gladness." Friends, toils and tears, stress and sweat will not last forever. Exhale. Fourth, the Sabbath is a test of faith. A strong case can be made that the Sabbath is a kind of test. In Exodus 16, God provided manna for the Hebrews to eat. They could collect a double portion on Friday so that they could rest on Saturday, since they wouldn't have to spend time or energy collecting manna. Would they trust God to provide, or would they continue to collect and gather under the assumption that the Lord was asleep at the wheel? This is instructive for us today. Will we trust God enough to rest, or will we doubt his provision, jam our schedules, and zigzag all day long? Because if we don't, nothing important will ever get done. Fifth, the Sabbath is to be holy. It's not supposed to be like other days. The verb in Exodus 20, verse 8 is telling. It is to be kept holy. It should be distinct and special for God's purposes. George Henry points out that the distinctive nature of Sabbath isn't just about what we do, rest and worship, but about what we don't do. The ancient rabbis created 39 classifications of different kinds of work, what could be done and what couldn't be done. Throughout history, this question has been the subject of great debate, not only in Jewish circles, but in Christian ones. In our own time, Sunday shopping laws were passed and then repealed with great debate and fanfare. What should or shouldn't be done? One thing that shouldn't be done is business as usual. R.C. Sproul writes, "Commerce, just for the sake of merchandising, ought to cease on the Sabbath," end quote. That's a popular attitude many Christians have adopted. Related to all of this is a certain kind of evangelism or witness. Others will see that we are living differently from the world at large. When that happens, we are showing others something life-giving about the goodness of our God and also about the joy of life. Earlier, I talked about runner Eric Little. Whether you agree with his decision or not, I can't help but think that his resolute faith and witness made an impact for generations. So, let's start to bring things together. Remember that part about the Old Testament laws and how some continue to be applicable, but others don't? With that in mind, theologian John Calvin argued that the moral aspect of the commandment remains, i.e., one day in seven, but that the ceremonial part doesn't, meaning the part affixed to Saturday. Christians should continue to observe the spirit of the law even if the day itself is changed. I would agree with Calvin. After Christ, the principle is one day in seven to worship and rest. This view is also reflected in the Westminster Confession, a historic faith statement from the 17th century. It summarizes the biblical picture in the following way. The Sabbath was observed from the creation of the world to the time of Christ on the last day of the week, Saturday, but after Christ to the end of the world on the first day of the week, Sunday. They call it the Christian Sabbath. The Christian Sabbath. So, how's it going? Let me close with a few final practical considerations. Some of you are keeping Sabbath well. Amazing. Some of you aren't, and some of you feel guilty about that. Now, this isn't about making you feel bad. It's about becoming better informed and about taking your next best step toward more authentic Sabbath rest. In the sermon that accompanies this episode and post, I highlight two areas of focus. And the first has to do with time. Perhaps your next best step has to do with looking at how you use your time. Is it holy, as we are instructed in Exodus 20, verse 8? Or is it like every other day of the week, perhaps with a worship service occasionally thrown in for good measure? The second has to do with technology. This may come as a surprise to you, but the ancient Hebrews did not have our technology. They didn't have smartphones, TikTok, Disney+, YouTube. When they physically rested, there was a greater likelihood that they were mentally resting too. Sure, they had other things to worry about, including family, health, war, famine. My point is that today we have an added layer of complication, the potential for nonstop mental stimulation. Millions of people in our country are physically resting all the time, but they are not mentally resting. They're living in a state of panic, fear, and anxiety, in part because of nonstop mental stimulation, which is unhealthy and exhausting. Is your next best step toward more authentic Sabbath rest being more deliberate about how you do or don't use technology when you are trying to rest? Have you ever sat down on the couch, scrolled your phone for an hour, only to get up feeling worse than you did when you sat down? Exactly. Physical rest without mental rest isn't really rest. In fact, I would go so far as to say that rest is an act of war against the powers of chaos. As a final word, let's take God's love seriously and appreciate the value of what He has given to us. They're called commandments, not suggestions. That's because our Father, Savior, and King actually knows what is best for His children. Richard Baxter calls God the searcher of hearts, the searcher of hearts. So He knows what we need the most. Therefore, haphazardness is a hazard we are wise to avoid. Again, Henry writes, a thing that can be done at any time runs the risk of being done at no time. End quote. Good point. Some people are good at making priorities and setting a schedule to reflect those priorities. Some aren't. And that is why planning matters. I also want to note that life can become very complicated. I get that. People have shift work. Kids get sick. Community events and sports are now planned on Sundays, and things go sideways. All of that can mess with Sabbath rest. Families and individuals are now faced with challenging decisions. In a world of 24/7, pursuing Sabbath rest is a countercultural activity. We're swimming against the stream, which, ironically, is kind of tiring. But insofar as it's up to us, we should endeavor to make inconsistent Sabbath observance the exception to the rule, not the rule itself. Christians will need to be prayerful if they want to be effective. God loves His people. He wants good things for them, including rest and refreshment. George Swinnick called it the golden spot of the week. The golden spot of the week. May we discover that to be true in our own lives as we follow Jesus and look forward to the Eden to come.